So our first and gospel readings show us the call to discipleship of Samuel, Andrew, and Peter. And our second reading talks about the importance of purity. So I'd like to look at two teachings of St. Thomas Aquinas to tie these two realities together, the realities of discipleship and purity. The first teaching is, nothing is in the intellect which was not first in the senses. And the second is, whatever is received in the mode of the receiver. We'll break those down, so don't think you have to memorize them right off the top there. So let's start with the first one. So nothing is in the intellect which is not first in our senses. So no one is born with inherent knowledge. There's no Platonic forms that we have in our minds. We learn about the world through our senses. Science tells us even babies in the womb will hear their parents' voices. And when they hear their parents' voices, their heart rates will start to race. We all know if you give a baby something, what's the first thing they do? They pop it right in their mouth, right? So we can see these little ones using their senses to understand the world around them. And with our senses, we then create what we call phantasms from a Thomistic point of view, these images that we get in our mind. So let's do a quick little experiment together. We've done this a couple years ago, but we'll do it again. So close your eyes for about a few seconds. And I want you to think about a car. Get the image of a car in your mind. So think about a car. Okay, you can open your minds now. I'm going to assume some of you thought of the car that you drove here today in. Some of you might be thinking of that dream car, that Lamborghini, that one day you want to be in your driveway. Others of you maybe just smashed a bunch of images together and created a mystical car that you just from all your experiences. Others of you probably just took a quick nap when you closed your eyes, and that's okay. You're probably a little tired there. But what happened is the image that you got in your head most likely came from your experiences. From your life, you've seen cars, you've thought about cars, and you said, this is the car that came to mind. So we can see that nothing was in the intellect, that first was an experience through our senses. Next, we need to look at whatever is received according to the mode of the receiver. So I wanted to look at three people, or create a scenario where three people are standing in front of a painting, and the painting is The Birth of Venus by Sandro Botticelli. And the three people we're going to put in front of this painting is a 13-year-old boy, a sophomore art college student, and then the curator of the Uffizi Gallery for where this painting is. Are you familiar with this painting? Okay. If you're not, it's the original Playboy pinup. Venus is nude. Her hair is very interestingly placed in the painting, but the left part of her chest is fully exposed. So we can imagine this 13-year-old boy walks in front of this painting and looks at it where his eyes are immediately going to go. And he's going to declare a new appreciation for the arts. The sophomore art student is going to look at the painting and start seeing, oh, okay, I remember learning this in class and can see where the lines and, you know, the lighting and all those things that artists work at are there. And it's like, this is kind of neat. Then the curator stands there and looks at it and thinks, wow, I'm so proud that we have this beautiful piece in our collection. I'm proud that I'm the curator to allow people to enjoy this beautiful art. So we have the same painting, but we see three individuals experiencing it in a radically different way because the three people are bringing their own individual experience to this painting that allows them to receive whatever it is that they're getting from this painting. So we can see whatever is received in the mode of the receiver in action. Now let's take these principles and apply them to the call to discipleship. Samuel, we're told, did not recognize the voice of God when God started to call out to him. Well, how could he? The scriptures themselves tell us. At that time, Samuel was not familiar with the Lord because the Lord had not revealed anything to him as of yet. So he wasn't ready to hear God. How would he be ready to hear God? However, Eli, who is the high priest of Shiloh, he understands what's going on. He sees, my experience, my scripture study, my prayer says this is what's going on. So what youth and inexperience could not understand, maturity and wisdom could. Same message, different reactions. Next is the calling of the two disciples. They hear with their senses John the Baptist say of Jesus Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God." And we're told they stop following John the Baptist and they start to follow Jesus Christ. Well, how can these five words, this one sentence, so radically change their lives? Well, the disciples would have been well versed in the scriptures. They would have understood the significance of that word lamb. First and foremost, there's lots of references of God being the good shepherd. Oh, okay, so we have that shepherd-sheep thing going on there. Next, the Passover lamb. The lamb was central to that sacrificial relationship with God, where God freed us from slavery in Egypt. So when the disciples hear this title, they receive it in the correct way. They were prepared to receive it. They understand who Jesus Christ is, and they start to follow him. However, we know that there are others who heard John the Baptist's words and people who will read John's gospel, both in antiquity and today, who will not follow Jesus. Well, why is that? Well, what did they bring to the encounter with God? How have they prepared? Our second reading talks about the importance of keeping ourselves pure. And I think purity is a big challenge to discipleship and faith today. Like the 13-year-old, looking at Venus in a very particular way, many people get stuck on the issues of the flesh. There was an interesting exchange between Auxiliary Bishop Robert Barron, who's down in Los Angeles, and Father James Martin, who's the editor of large at America Magazine. And one of the things that Bishop Barron does, he has this thing called Word on Fire, and he talks about different topics or people can send him questions. So he invited Father James Martin to send him a question. So Father James Martin sent him the following question. He said to Bishop Barron, "What do you say to Catholics who struggle with the church's teachings on birth control and premarital sex, abortion, homosexuality, all those hot button issues?" Robert Barron thought for a moment. He said, "You know, I came of age in the 60s when the sexual revolution happened and these hot button issues came up to the front." He can you say it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because so many people either start there or kind of get really stuck on these issues and they can't go to the deeper issues of the faith. Robert Barron continues to say, "You know, the faith is such a beautiful understanding of relationship with God and the human person. This love that God has for us and we should have for God. The incarnation, Jesus Christ, becoming one of us. Christ's sacrificial death upon the cross. The forgiveness of sins, mercy, reconciliation. These wonderful teachings, these wonderful issues at the core of our faith with God." And he finished by saying, if someone gets stuck, kind of stuck on the issues of the flesh, then they'll never hear the voice of God. Another challenge to discipleship is seen in the example of the sophomore art student that I gave. Originally, I wanted to make him a senior. Then I thought about it and said, let's make him a sophomore. Because the word sophomore comes from two words from Greek, sophos and moros. Sophos is where we get the word sophisticated, and moros is where we get the word moron. So a sophomore literally means a wise fool, right? Now, I can relate to that because often seminary, we have 2 years of philosophy. It's our first 2 years of studies. And after those 2 years, you think you're the smartest person in the world. Because I've studied, is Brother Matthew here? All right, good, he's not here. Except for Brother Matthew, he's not this way. So you have 2 years of philosophy and you think you're the smartest person in the world. But then what happens is you got to continue on your journey. Then you go to doing 4 years of theology. Then you learn that philosophy is the wisdom of man. Theology is the revelation of God. And our wisdom is always has to be checked by God's wisdom. So we can see what Alexander Pope said correctly. He said, "A little learning is a dangerous thing." Now, unfortunately, this is one of the realities of the information age. I was just home, so I was on planes, and I was at Christmas parties and talking to family and extended family and friends. I'm always fascinated when I go to these parties. It's like, oh, the priest is here. Let's talk to the priest. All right, it's cool. Give me a piece of cake. I'll talk to you, you know. And they always want to get, you know, theological, which is great. I love talking about the faith, as you know. When I always run into the handful of people who just sort of like, you know, a little knowledge is dangerous, and they have very strong opinions about matters of God and faith and religion. But when you start talking to them, you realize that they've maybe read one article on the internet or watched a 3-minute video, and now all of a sudden they're an expert in the field of what they're talking about. And you have to bite your tongue sometimes because you're in a party and you're like, okay, I'm just going to let it go. But I say to myself, unless this person really goes deeper, they're going to remain that wise fool when it comes to their relationship with God. The sophomore has to become a junior and then a senior and has to really start digging deep into the understanding of it. And if that doesn't happen, then you get stuck. You get stuck in this place where, again, information is received in the mode of the receiver. If the receiver is not ready to receive the information, then they will never hear the voice of God. So Samuel at first did not hear the voice of God. Andrew and Peter were ready. So when the God called, they were ready to go. So what about us? Are we ready? Are we ready to hear the voice of God? Well, the answer to that is going to say, what are we doing with our senses? So for instance, what are we watching on TV? There's some wonderful things on TV, but some things that are kind of questionable. What are we searching on the internet? I do lots of internet searches preparing homilies and talks. There's also some stuff on the internet I've been told that might not be that virtuous out there. What are we reading? What book is on your nightstand? What book is on your Kindle? What are you actually reading that forces you to go beyond that 3-minute soundbite that says, I'm actually studying some aspect of my faith? I'm going deeper to understand the beautiful revelation that God has for us. If our senses are going to inform our intellect, and our intellect is going to say who we are, then we have to prepare. We have to prepare to receive the beautiful voice of God in our lives.